Evening, we'll be in the Song of Solomon, the third chapter, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. It's amazing to us that you have magnified your word even above your name. May we give it the attention that it deserves. Father, this evening as we pause and pray before our Bible study time, before our prayer time, pray for Ann McClellan there in Scotland who is listening in this evening and trying to recover and having difficulty from that. I pray that you'd help her and encourage her and let her know that there's a church family a long ways away from where she is right now that is praying for her, and may she be encouraged by that. And may she live to give you the honor and glory for your salvation and for your strength, for your healing, for your grace in her life. Father, there are many needs, as many needs in the room as there are faces, and more so. I pray that you'd meet every need, speak to our hearts. Encourage us tonight from your word, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We're in the third chapter of the Song of Solomon, and in this third chapter, the Shulamite has a dream. And we're going to start this evening reading that, and we're going to go down through verse 11, which will finish out chapter 3 tonight. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We talked about those times. You lay your head on the pillow at night, and it is difficulty. You have difficulty sleeping, and it should be a time of spiritual awakening, not a time of Facebook surfing. You want God to do something in your life, use it as a spiritual time. And so she does. She used it, she's looking. I sought him, I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets. Now again, verse 2, she is not physically doing that. She is captive in the castle. She does not have the freedom to get up and leave that room. This is part of the dream. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. What does that tell us? Well, last week we mentioned that if you're looking for the shepherd, and Jesus Christ is the shepherd, you're not going to find him in the city streets. Shepherds will be found where shepherds are, and that's with the sheep. That's out where the sheep are. And that's not in the nightlife, it's not in the nightclubs, it's not in the busy streets of the city. And she found him not. Verse 3 talks about the watchmen. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Now the watchmen, typical of the world. And the world is absolutely clueless. And if you don't understand that, you haven't talked to anybody from the world recently about a spiritual issue. They are absolutely clueless to be able to help you. Now, they don't know. Now, verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house in the chamber that conceived me. And verse 5, she does not want to be distracted by the thing, the voices, the people of the world. And so verse 5, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Now don't let the world distract you from spiritual pursuits. And that finishes the dream. If your Bible marks paragraphs, verse 6 will start a new paragraph. And you'll very clearly, people say, I have a hard time following along in the Song of Solomon. So let's just go over just a little bit of review tonight. There are some principal characters. There's a Shulamite who is looking, who is symbolic. She's an actual person. This is actual events that took place. But there is also symbolism that goes on as well. She is an actual person. and she is actually and she is looking for the shepherd. She is being held captive. The king is part of the king's harem. He brought her in. She's not free to go. She cannot. She's held captive by the world, by the world pursuits. The world is pursuing her. The daughters of Jerusalem are mocking her. The daughters of Zion, we'll mention that, we'll see that in the latter part of chapter 3. But she will not be distracted by the voices, by the people, by the rhetoric, or by the overtures of King Solomon. There are those that write about the Song of Solomon that say the shepherd and King Solomon are one and the same. And I'll tell you what, nothing could be further from the truth. King Solomon in the Song of Solomon is reflective of the tempter, of Satan himself, who would distract you from your spiritual pursuits, who would have all kinds of pomp and circumstance that would divert your eyes away from the Lord. Who is the shepherd? Jesus Christ is the shepherd. So we have the Shulamite, symbolic of the Christian who is searching for the approval of the shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. And we have King Solomon, who is a major player in this, and he is, with the pomp and circumstance and power and the influence that the world has to offer, is trying to distract the Shulamite from her spiritual pursuit. And if you are on the fence about whether or not you think King Solomon and the shepherd are one and the same, I do not think you will be on the fence after we finish chapter 3. Look at the next verse, a new paragraph. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed. Which is who? Which is Solomon's. If it's referring to the shepherd, why didn't it say which is the shepherd? Because the shepherd and Solomon are two totally different people. Notice his bed. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. And I say, what in the world is that? Well, long before there was ring doorbells and security systems and alarms and cameras, they had security systems. And the security system was the army provided security in the bedroom of the king while he slept, so he could sleep. They did the graveyard shift, the midnight shift, and their job was to stay awake and to protect the king. Why? Because if somebody wanted to kill the king, they were going to try to get him while he was sleeping. So how many people did the king have watching his bed? 70, 20, 40, 60 valiant men. You thought your bedroom was a little crowded. 60 people in there with swords by their side, ready to take care of business. And these aren't wimps. These aren't newbies. And these aren't the plebes. These are the valiant men. They're tried and true in battle. And verse 8, they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear. Fear in the night. And so they're valiant. These would be the seals of the day. Who are we talking about? Verse 9. Very clearly, not the shepherd. We're talking about King Solomon. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. This is our presidential limousine of the day. I mean, we're not going to drive. Some of the young people won't recognize this, but I'll be able to tell your age immediately when I say this. It's not a Yugo. Okay. I know where the age cutoff is. A Yugo was a little, a toy car. That ran on four wheels. It kind of looks like a smart car, only it wasn't quite near as smart as the smart cars are. it was the limousine of the day, and he's not going to the assembly line to get his stuff. Oh, no. He imported wood to make his presidential chariot, limousine. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon. He made pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Ah, notice who's impressed. All the women, they're impressed. Verse 11, go forth, O you daughters of Zion. Is that a positive or negative? And behold, King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. Does that sound like the shepherd King Jesus? Does any of this sound like the shepherd? Does any of this sound like the Lord Jesus Christ? Not a bit. Not a bit at all whatsoever. I'll also, if you like numbers, then you should really like the number. Why not 50 armed men in the bedroom? Why not 70? Why 60? You like following numbers. There's the number 6. What is that? That's the number of man. And we'll see that again as we go on this evening. Stark transition between chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. Again, if you don't have the paragraphs marked, you should put a line right there, as there is a big transition that goes on there with the new paragraph. In verses 1 through 5, we have the Shulamite looking in the night, not being able to sleep, being troubled, looking for the presence. I just need the presence of the Savior. And then who shows up? A Solomon. Now, this is not necessarily chronological. Song of Solomon is not strictly chronological. So if you're looking for that, you'll get a little bit distracted by the text. But it should not surprise you when the average Christian, it certainly doesn't surprise the preacher, when the average Christian says, I want to know the Lord. I want to know God. I want to know God's power. I want to serve God. I want to be counted as one of God's faithful disciples. That the boss shows up with a promotion that requires you to work on Sunday. A big contrast. Solomon shows up and says, hey, God doesn't have anything that I can't give you 10 times more. Look at what I have. I have imported wood for my chariot. I have silver. I have 60 armed guards in my bedroom. Who else can give you that? I mean, can God give you that? And Satan shows up. You should not be surprised. The power of Satan. The power of Satan is found in Satan's media. Again, if you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're turning on the tube, you're going to the wrong place. You are not going to find spiritual fulfillment there. You're going to find a distraction from the spiritual. And you surf the internet, you are not going to find spiritual fulfillment. Turn off YouTube videos and get your Bible out. Stop searching for something, an alternative to God speaking to you from His Word. If God's Word, and this is what Bible says, that I have magnified my Word above my name, it seems like we should give God's Word attention, but we don't. We give Facebook videos or YouTube videos the priority over the Word of God. And that is wrong. King Solomon is not representing the faithful shepherd. He is representing Satan's pomp and circumstance. Watch me as I come. Big parade. What is happening in verse 6? Well, pretty typical of the day when kings came back from a crusade or a campaign or a war or a battle. They came in with pomp and circumstance and a parade. And here we have a parade. You think about, when do most of the parades happen? On Sunday. And you can go Sunday, you can go to parade on Sunday. Listen, several years ago I was talking to a fellow, he hadn't been in church in a while. And probably 20 years ago. And I said to him, Sunday, I expect to see you in church. Now, it was October-ish. And we had friend day coming up, and I said, Sunday, I expect to see you in church. This is what he said. Preacher, you know, it's Tuesday, and a lot can happen between now and Sunday. I mean, I would like to promise you that I'd be in church on Sunday, but you know, just who can tell what can happen? I happen to know some things about him, and I looked at him, and I said, let me change the subject just a little bit. I said, Memorial Day, next year in May? He said, are you doing the ride for the fallen, for the missing in action? He said, oh, yeah, preacher. Yeah, I do that every year. Man, yeah, you know I'll be there. I said, now, wait a minute. You never miss that. That's on a Sunday. That's 8 months down the road. But you can't promise me you're going to be here in 4 days, 5 days from now? But why? Because God's word, not a priority. It wasn't a priority to him either. 2 Corinthians tells us we need to make the gospel a priority. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, who is it hid? It is hid to them who are lost. Lest what? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'll just say, the parade watchers of this world, be they saved or unsaved, are woefully ignorant of the power of God and the purpose for our existence. Our purpose is to herald out the gospel message. They're woefully ignorant, but we should not be. Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's a strong word. The world is woefully ignorant, but we should not be, concerning them which are asleep, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We should not be. D.L. Moody said this, no nation, this ought to scare you, no nation has ever prospered that trampled on the Lord's day. No nation has ever prospered that trampled on the Lord's day. Show me a nation that has done this, and I will show you a nation that has in it the seeds of ruin and decay. Yeah, election coming up this fall. If you expect the outcome of the election is going to solve America's problem, you are woefully ignorant about what is going on in our local community. Because our local community tramples on the Lord's day. Our local government tramples on the Lord's day. Little League tramples on the Lord's day. Churches cancel church on the Lord's day. So you can spend more time with family, so you can go on a picnic, so you can take the summer off. Why? Because we're too busy to make God a priority. Should not surprise you again in this dream, in these five verses where the Shulamite is seeking an intimate, personal conversation in touch with the Lord that Satan shows up to distract. That's one of his best tools. Ruin and decay. No nation, I will add to Mr. Moody by saying, no community, no church, no state, no locality. The election in the fall is not going to solve our problems. We need a people like the Shulamite in these first five verses, that will not let the pomp and circumstance of Satan's power distract them, verses 6 through 11, from their pursuit of what is godly. And it's amazing what can get in the way. work, pleasure, business, family. I probably, for these last many, many years, should have kept a list of all the excuses people have given me as why they can't make God a priority on God's day. My parakeet is one of my favorite. My parakeet has isolation disorder. I can't leave my parakeet alone. It has emotional instability when I do that. And I said to the person, kill the parakeet. You'd be better off to have a dead parakeet and have a close relationship with the Lord. Moving right along, verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's bed, 70 valiant men. The world's power in view. Police, military, weapons. We do those displays of power. And we love that. People love that. Andrews Air Force Base will have an air show. There'll be all kinds of people who crowd in there. Oh, preacher, it's too hot to go to church. It's 106 degrees, you're on the tarmac. But we find that to be more interesting than we do the power of God. I'll just say the world is drunk with satanic power. Now, I get it when the unsaved rulers are drunk with satanic power. When Herod, or when Pilate, Pontius Pilate said to Jesus Christ in John chapter 19, verse 10, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release you? And he would have no power except it were given to him from above. And that frightened him. Darwin and evolution. What does that teach? Might is right. Might is right. Sadly, many Christians, many preachers have that same philosophy. I was talking to a young preacher just recently, and he said, what do you think is the key to ministry? And I said, servant leadership. You are there to serve. When you lose sight of the fact that you're there to serve and you think that you are there to rule, then you have been eating at Satan's table of power. Meekness is seldom evident in government and politics. Sadly, meekness is oft absent in church politics. Why? Because the world, satanic, is impressed by verses 6 through 11. The satanic shows of power. We're impressed by that. And we think that we do. Do you know who I am? You best not mess with me. When we display that satanic view of power rather than the meekness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, a passage that I memorized, verse 25, a long time ago, in meekness to the preachers, Paul writing to the young preacher, Timothy, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken, this is serious stuff, who are taken captive by him at his will. They're in serious trouble. But that is no excuse for the Christian leader in the pulpit, in the Sunday school class, in the bus route, in the home, to have that same display of godliness. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, must not strive, not be a brawler. Why? Because those are not spiritual traits. We are to restore in a spirit of meekness. But the world is drunk with satanic power, and many Christians are as well. So what do you not see in this second paragraph? This is what we see. What do you not see? What is there, what is missing, is as important as what is there. We have the king coming back from a conquest. We have him in his chariot of imported wood. We have the descriptions of his bed and the armed guards that are around. We have pictures of his vast wealth, the linings of silver. We have the daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Zion, that are cheering. The king's display of pride. What's missing? You don't see the Shulamite here anywhere. She's not there. The Christian that honors God, that's looking God, that's looking for God's presence, that's looking for God's power, that's looking for the shepherd, she's not here. She's not here celebrating his power. She's not here celebrating his pomp and circumstance. She's not here encouraging him in any way. She's not here awing and drooling over his massive wealth and his ability. She's not there. You think that's by accident? I do not. Apparent by her absence. The child of God should not be impressed or watching Satan's displays of power. Boy, many times we get caught up into it. Because prosperity is something we desire. Godliness with contentment is still great gain. Riches some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. That doesn't bode well with the prosperity preachers out there. But it is nonetheless in the Holy Writ of Scripture. Riches some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What are we to do? We're to flee those things. Everything about King Solomon in this paragraph, in these verses from verse 6 to 11, is the antithesis of the Christian, the Shulamite, that desires to walk in the Spirit. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in church. You can't do it. And so she's not there. You can't be there either. You cannot be a friend. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So what about King Solomon? Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14. What about King Solomon? We know that he had 60 soldiers. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. This could be coincidental. I don't think so. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14. That's a new paragraph. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. You think that's accidental? 666 talents. Anybody tell me what that number is? 666? Is that accidental?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Say, preacher, what were you doing if you had that number? All right, man, I'd bring another dollar. Frank called me up and said, Pastor, we had $666 in the offering last Sunday. I said, Frank, it's now $667. I'm sending you another dollar. Bump it up. Because I don't want to be associated with that number. But he did. He did. Look at verse 19. In chapter 10, verse 19. His throne had how many steps? Accidental? Man, they're just... After a while, all these coincidental numbers just seem to be... Man, it's just... How many steps you got going up to your throne? And I have six. How many steps we have come up here to the platform? We're adding a seventh. The number of God. King Solomon had six. Revelation chapter 18, verse 16 tells us the day is going to come when the prosperity of Babylon is destroyed. It may seem like now that the government is in control, that the world powers be what they are, that the movers and shakers, that the supreme courts of this world are the ones that rule, and God is being shoved aside. But there's coming a day, that Revelation chapter 18, verse 16, when God is going to reward them double for their iniquity. God's day is coming. God's day when the extravagance, the opulence, the prosperity preachers that parrot Satan's lie that God wants you to be rich. God doesn't want you to be rich. God wants you to be light. In Christ's first message, in Matthew chapter 5, he didn't say, go be rich. He said, let your light so shine before men that they see God. Again, they that will be rich. There's a warning with that. Solomon, the polygamist, the sensualist, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, prosperous, yeah, popular, without a doubt. Daughters of Zion, are they spiritual? No, they're not. Turn with me one more page. We're in 1 Kings chapter 11. You think Solomon is a shepherd? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and it turned his heart away from God. Solomon is not the hero of the Song of Solomon. He is not the shepherd. He is not representative of the shepherd. His life is not consistent with the shepherd. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. The daughters of Zion, who are they? Well, they are used in Scripture to designate wanton women, immodest, haughty, shallow, worldly, women who are preoccupied with worldly appearances, worldly wealth, worldly pleasures, and God describes them as ripe for judgment. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 11, they show up to cheer for the king. But the real follower of Christ, the one who is searching for Christ, the Shulamite, again, she is not there to be found. And you should not be either. So here's the question as we come to a conclusion this evening of this third chapter. We know the principal players, the Shulamite, the Christian searching for the Lord. We know the shepherd is Jesus Christ. We see that King Solomon is representative of Satan and his vast worldly powers. We see the daughters of Zion, wanton women who would much rather have the wealth and prosperity of Satan than a close relationship with the Lord. But here's the question for us this evening. Who are you in the text? Are you the Christian searching, desiring that close relationship with the Lord? Are you the power hungry, King Solomon, living a life of sensuality and sinfulness, and think that's going to impress God because it impresses the foolish women? Are you one of the foolish women, one of the foolish men that are impressed with that? Who are you in the text? That is a convicting question. Father, we bow our heads this evening.
shame, sorrow, what we have done to your day and to your name and to your word. Where a YouTube video is more to be desired than the pages of Scripture which you have magnified above your name. We're okay for church on Sunday unless the boss offers us double time and a half. Or family calls. Or friend calls. And we're not to be found where the shepherd is found, with the sheep. We're found at the parades of this world, on the beach, on the streets, in the malls. Casual, carefree shopping. We'll get to the shepherd another day. And a lifetime is gone and wasted. And we have never lived for you. May we be convicted and motivated tonight to be different, to be the right character in the narrative of the Song of Solomon. The Christian who is diligently seeking the smile of the shepherd. It is in the shepherd's name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.